the church. Can you say that? We the church, which is why we sung, that's us, you, me, the church, that's us. Because you'll never hear me say, welcome to church. But you will hear me say, hey church, welcome to the 5 o'clock service. Because church is not a service. It's not a building. It's not a program. You, me, the church, that's us. So hey church, welcome to the 5 o'clock service. Because we're the church. We are the church. And you're probably wondering why I have a ladder on the stage. The title of my message tonight is A Step Ladder Changed My Life. It actually did. A step ladder changed my life. Matthew Barnett, who is a phenomenal man of God, he's probably in his 80s now, started the Dream Center in LA. And they bought a building that was a hospital and now houses the homeless, schools them, educates them, rehabilitates them, feeds them. And so it's the Dream Center. If you want to look it up, it's a remarkable ministry that now his son runs. But he is quoted as saying, imperfect people helping imperfect people is the perfect plan. Imperfect people helping imperfect people is actually the perfect plan. And so if you're waiting until you're perfect before you do something, you're never going to get there until the other side of eternity. But imperfect people helping imperfect people is actually God's perfect plan. And it's me saying, I am imperfect. I don't have it all together, but I love Jesus and I have something to give. And you may be just as broken as me, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to bridge a gap between you and Jesus. Imperfect people helping imperfect people is actually the genius plan of God. He is not waiting for us to get perfect. He's like, you are exactly the way I want you to be right now. I get it. I'm walking with you. Let's do this together. And so the title of my message, A Step Ladder Changed My Life. When I was about 11 years old, my son Jesse has just turned 10. And so I was just a little bit older than Jesse when my family imploded. And my mum and dad broke up. My parents were immigrant parents from Poland. We'd done the hard yards learning English and trying to eat Vegemite sandwiches. And at about 11, they broke up. And so everything, I felt like the rug was ripped out from under my feet. I felt like everything turned inside out and I didn't know which way was up. And there was a time where, you know, if you've been through that, and many people have, maybe you've been divorced, maybe you're the child of a broken family and you go through family court and all the assets get split and it's ugly and it's messy and it takes ages and there's no one knows what's what and everything's turned inside out. And as a child, I was the oldest of three girls and I remember nights where my parents would be fighting and I would have a sister under each arm with their heads under the covers so they couldn't hear the fighting. And then the family broke down and I remember this moving into this tiny matchbox house in Alcester. Who knows where Alcester is? It's actually the ghetto of Brisbane. And we this tiny little matchbox house, my mum and us three girls. And it was so small that there weren't enough bedrooms for us. Mum was literally sleeping in the cement garage. And so over time, she managed to save up enough money to renovate it, to seal it off and put a doorway through the main house into the garage so that she could put her bedroom in there and it could be a functioning room. And so because she was really thrifty and, you know, diligent with her finance because there wasn't much of it, she did all the quotes. She got all different carpenters to come through and quote it. And this guy named, we're going to call him Brian to protect his identity. This guy named Brian got the winning bid and he was at our house renovating this garage into her bedroom. And she's broken. She doesn't speak English. She's got to work two or three jobs to support the family. And she's at the end of herself. Whole family's overseas. She's completely alone. And day in, day out, Brian's there working on the room. And one day, he's up the stepladder and he's humming. And my mum says, "What song is it that you're humming?" And he looks at her, comes down the stepladder, and starts singing the words to a worship song. She bursts into tears, and he leads her to Christ in her own lounge room. A stepladder changed my life. Have you heard of the butterfly effect? So let me put it on the screen. The definition of the butterfly effect, it's a popular hypothetical example which illustrates how in any dynamic system, a small initial difference may over time lead to a large unforeseen consequence. So the concept of the butterfly effect is a butterfly flapping its fragile wings. And we would think it has no effect, right? Because it's so subtle and so gentle, yet it blows a bit of dust, which impacts something else, which impacts something else. And somewhere around the globe, something actually has happened because this butterfly over here flapped its wings. And if it hadn't flapped its wings, the thing over the other side of the world wouldn't have happened. And so I often wonder, what if he didn't come down his stepladder? The butterfly effect of Brian's obedience in that moment, in not withholding his faith, didn't only mean that he led a broken single mum to the Lord. It meant that that single mother's daughter was going to go into ministry. And in my time, I've seen somewhere around 15,000 people make decisions for Jesus Christ. The butterfly effect. Now imagine if Brian was preoccupied that day. Imagine if he didn't have a worshiper's heart that day. Imagine if he wasn't humming as he was doing his day in, day out. Imagine if that butterfly hadn't flapped its wings. But imperfect people helping imperfect people is God's perfect plan. And my goal tonight is to get you off your proverbial stepladder this week. My goal this week is that you would turn outwards and understand there's a butterfly effect connected to your life, to your obedience, to you recognizing I'm the church. I'm the church. It's me. It's not the building. It's not the service. It's me. And so as we go through the message tonight, who are you going to be that Brian person to in your life? Would you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel? If you've got it on your phone, you can turn it to it there. If you're a Christian and you brought your Bible, physical Bible, it's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 47. I love this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture grips me. It captivates my imagination. It blows on the coals of my faith, of my obedience. This passage of Scripture in Ezekiel 47, it talks about the temple. It talks about the river that flows out of the temple. You, me, the church, that's us. We, the church. And so I want us to read it together, and then we're going to draw out three thoughts out of this passage of what it means, we, the church. Ezekiel 47, the healing waters and the trees. Then he, the Spirit of God, brought me, Ezekiel, the prophet, having this vision. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. And the water came up to my ankles. Can you say ankles? Then he measured again, and he measured another 1,000 and brought me through the water. And this time it came up to my knees. Turn to the person next to you and say, it came up to my knees. Again, he measured another 1,000 and brought me through, and it came up to my waist. Can you say it came to my waist? Again, he measured another 1,000, and it was a river I couldn't cross. The water was too deep water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there are very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region. It goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, the waters are healed. And it shall be that everything that moves wherever the river goes will live. And there will be a very great multitude of fish because the waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. But its swamps, watch this, and marshes won't be healed. They'll be given over to salt, right? Stagnation. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that side, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because, can you say because, the water flows from the sanctuary. The fruit will be for food and the leaves will be for medicine. We the church, the living water, and Jared and I did not discuss notes, but just amazing that he's talking out of generosity about the river that flows, that God intends for a river to flow through his people, through his church, a deep river, a river that's rushing, a river that brings life everywhere it goes, the river that comes from the sanctuary, the place of Jesus, the river that source is Christ. And so my first thought this evening is that this river moves outwards and it runs deep. It runs out of here. It doesn't pool here and stagnate here. It runs out and it runs deep. And actually what's beautiful about this river, as we read about different translations and different scholars, they say it got wider and deeper as it went. And it's true because first I go in ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep, then I'm in over my head. Can you say over my head? Give me a big shout if you want to go over your head in Jesus this year. This is the scariest thought. I have as much of God as I want. I can be ankle deep if I want to. I can be knee deep if I want to, but I can actually be in over my head. And the river is designed, it's meant to go deeper and wider as it goes. You know, I remember when good old Brian led our family to God and we got connected. I was about 12 or 13 by then, and walked away from the Lord over my high school years. I remember sitting in my university lecture at QUT Gardens Point Business, Carenza, you me, QUT 100 years ago for me though, not this year for you. And I was sitting in my business lecture and one of my school friends, Alvin, was sitting with me. And he goes, Carolina, you just got to get your life right with God. I'm like, I know. And that Sunday, I found myself at City Point Church in Brisbane, just a face in the crowd. Nobody. No one knew me. No one knew my story. Just a face in the crowd. That night, Andy Goulet, who knows Andy? King Boss Frog met me, found out everything about me. The next week, he beelined me again, still remembered my name, both degrees I was studying, the fact that I had two sisters, remembered everything about me. The next week, remembered me again and started connecting me to different people. And so I got connected to different people. Eventually, I got into a life group. Eventually, I got into the worship ministry. Eventually, I was ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then in over my head, because the river gets deeper and wider as it goes. I experienced salvation, restoration, healing, provision as the progression happened, step by step. Do you know church will only ever be a static building you visit on Sunday until you immerse yourself in the river? It will only be an institution until you connect with and see the people right in front of you. It's not the church's fault that we're not connected. Because the man of God is inviting me. Do you want to go ankle deep? Or do you want to come another 1,000 cubits? Because you can go knee deep. You can go waist deep if you want. And so we need to dive in to the river. And the river that we submerge ourselves in brings transformation and change. And so I want to encourage you. This month, we're inviting you to join a team. Anywhere. Anywhere. And you know what? Like Marlene said, even if you get it wrong, at least you gave it a shot. Try something else. Just try anything. Try what comes easy or the first invitation you get. Don't overthink it. If someone invites you, just say yes. And if it doesn't suit, try something else, because we go ankle, knee, waist, and we see transformation and progression in our lives. The story of my life is I tried everything. I was in kids ministry, youth ministry. I was even in the production team. It was not a good day, Lockie. But as I immersed myself, I grew, I connected, I deepened my walk and my experience with God. And so just begin with what's easy. We get our hearts washed in the process, and then we get deeper and deeper. The second thing about this river is that it has healing in its wake. Everywhere it goes, it brings healing. It brings restoration. It brings change. Even the bitter water becomes sweet. When your life flows out of this place into the bitter places in the world, it turns those places sweet. Your presence in the bitter world brings sweetness. It changes the chemical composition of the environment you're in, spiritually speaking. Even bitter waters become sweet. Salvation comes. And things come to life. I want to invite two friends up here, Ronnie and Danny. Will you run up quickly? I want to hear from these two girls. And just a testimony. You don't have to hear it from me. Believe it from me. I could tell you countless stories of people who would say, the river, I was healed in the river. I want to introduce you to Danny. Can we give her a huge round of applause? Tell us about your story in the river.
Yeah, I wanted to start by reminding you of something you said a few years ago, that you'd never seen someone so plucked out of mess and dysfunction like I was. And I thought about that often since that point. And my childhood was really broken. I came from a broken home similar to you. And that instability became familiar part of my life. And I became used to it. And so every time that arose, I would welcome the strife and the struggle. And it wasn't until I sat in the back row of this church after many years of being lost and broken, not knowing who I was, and no value in any identity that I had sought in the world filled nothing. And I sat there and I heard the person up here speaking about a life with Jesus and what that looked like. And I just thought, if I could have a fraction of that life, how I simply just would not be lonely anymore. And that was at the start, that's all I was looking for. I was just looking to not be lonely anymore. And since that moment, I found that fraction. And similar to what you say, in that it's just grown. It's grown. And it's flourished, and like my heart is sold for Jesus now. And I did everything I could in those early days to know him more as much as I could. I did internship. I threw myself at creative. I served. I was in life groups. I was like, someone just tell me more. And here I am today, a semblance of the person I used to be, but I've never been more loved, more cherished, and more who I was made to be than ever. Yeah.
Thank you, sweetheart. Ronnie, I'm not going to give you a lead in. Tell us about your story.
All right. Yeah, so I was raised in a Catholic home, but we never really committed to anything. And then we moved up here. We never really found a church and we just kind of moved on. And then I met Joe and he was coming here. He was here at youth and I didn't really understand it. But I was raised in a really my family didn't really do vulnerability. We were all very like quite closed off to each other. We didn't apologize to each other. We didn't share any emotion. And I had three brothers. So any sign of weakness was like, get pummeled out of you, you know? So I was not used to seeing people being vulnerable. And I came here for like all the wrong reasons, you know, just wanting to hang out with Joe. I didn't want God. I didn't want to be a part of church. And I remember coming in here for youth and just being like so struck with anxiety because everyone was so comfortable in who they were and their identity. And they were so vulnerable. They would lift their hands in surrender. And I had no idea what that all was. And so every time I would come here, my anxiety was just like, so it would just overtake me. And there were so many nights where, you know, I would be standing there in the dark during praise and worship and I just like couldn't be in the room anymore. I had to get out of there. I would run out, get in my car, drive anywhere. And there was like a period of my time coming to church where, you know, I was kind of starting to get more comfortable, but like even in my own personal life, like, you know, if I was going to youth, it was, oh, mom, I'm going to a party or I'm going to a friend's house. I'm not going to church. you know, if I was listening to worship music, it was always, you know, in my headphones, nobody else can hear, like just so much anxiety about, you know, being vulnerable and letting God into my life. But yeah, every time I came, it was just a little bit more of letting go and yeah, healing from that anxiety. And it was like every time I wanted to take the next step, when I wanted to lift my hands a little bit, it was like this huge buildup of anxiety. And then I would just do it. And it was just like this huge release and huge overwhelming, like I was like jumping like off a cliff into water or something like that. And you know, the first time like I told my parents and actually was honest and say, no, like I'm going to church this Sunday. It was like this huge buildup of anxiety. I'm going to say the church word. And then it was like a big release and it was just every single week, there was just more of that being broken off my life and more of that release, more of that overwhelming peace about who I actually am in my identity. And just anxiety is not even a thing anymore. It's just not something I ever have to worry about again because I know who God is in my life. And it can just, yeah, just the healing waters. Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing, stunning, amazing. I want us to notice that in verse 11 it says, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed, they'll be given over to salt. And so even though the water has the capacity and the ability to heal, it is determined by its reception. It's determined by the flow. And whether we just pool it for ourselves or whether we continue to flow as well. So it's really important for us to recognize there's a season of receiving, but there must always be an outflow. You, me, the church, that's us. Staying receptive and soft-hearted, avoiding being stagnant, responding to the powerful change agent of God's grace, being the sort of people whose posture is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the final thought I have for us tonight is actually one that I had to do a lot of research into. I was like, what is with the fish? It says it's brimming with fish. What do the fish represent? And so as I studied it, actually the fish, because there's all kinds of breeds of fish in this river, as I studied it, all different sizes and species, and it says it's brimming with fish, it actually represents the generations. And it's not just the generations of like the 80-year-olds and the 15-year-olds, it's actually generations of Christians as well. This river is full of new converts. This river is filled with people reproducing. This river is filled of what we would call a discipleship process, where there's connection, there's multiplication, there's reproduction, and it's brimming with life. And not everyone's the same. Actually, we're all really different, and our diversity is what makes this river so beautiful. But there's this concept of it's brimming with new life. Brimming with new life. And it represents the healthy water with rising generations. I love this so much. That the presence of God is a magnet for lives coming to be transformed. And then for lives going, I've got to share this with someone else. It multiplies as a synergy of growth in the living water of the river of the church. And it's like multiplication on steroids. There's an explosion of growth. I want to introduce one last person. If Gracie's around, where's Gracie? Let's give her a round of applause as she comes out of hiding. Here she is. So Gracie has a similar story to my story. And I'd love just for you to share what your story is.
Sure. So finishing high school in 2018. And I was a classic teenager who could not talk to anyone, hated her life. there was actually a point where before I got my first job working in a coffee shop, I was actually in bed, unable to get out because of depression for like 6 weeks ongoing. And I started this new job at a coffee shop, and it was my first job. And life outside of work was pretty rough. My mum and I argued a lot. Dad did fly in, fly out for like 9 weeks away at a time. And so I kind of just invested myself into this job, which was just making toasties at the time. So I can always make a good toastie if you'd like one. but I got to a point in my life where it felt pointless, and I realized life was sort of like a game, and this might be a little bit heavy, but felt like if I couldn't win the game, then I should just quit. And then a week later, Pastor Cam, stepped into that coffee shop after being away on massive travels for your study, something like that. And we had a conversation about what happens after we die, because I was really scared of that. And then he taught me everything I know about coffee, but also taught me how to be a decent human being who can speak to people and have confidence in what she knows.
Because Pastor Cam wasn't Pastor Cam then.
No, I just knew him as Cam.
Well, because he was working with you in the coffee shop.
Yeah. So, and then just week after week, I would ask him questions and he would give me things like, go research postmodernism and what that means in relation to truth, which is a great topic. Go look at it. But then I came to church in 2019 for Christmas production to make coffee. And it was this one tiny little small thing of just making coffee, but it was the catalyst moment for the next however many years to come. And I think if it hadn't have been for one person taking a chance and seeing that there was hope in something that probably shouldn't have turned out the way it would, I genuinely don't know if I would be here today, which is something that I hate to admit, but it's also the reality of it. And so now, like, singing, worship, I love music. It's been something that my dad and I love to do all the time. And so being able to do it for Jesus is just, it just amplifies that love of music and creativity.
Yeah.
And seeing God's goodness in the relationships in my life, like my mom and I are now like this. Amazing. And best friends.
Yeah.
And we've had conversations about my mom and my relationship and yeah. how it was not good.
Yeah.
But just through living life on fire for God and not being afraid of being very open about the fact that I was going to church and praying all the time and worshiping and doing all of that sort of thing, I think it's just sort of caught on to the people around me that, yeah, that's just what she does. So it must be a good thing because we've seen the transformation. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So Gracie could say a coffee grinder changed my life. Like, honestly, what's your proverbial stepladder? What's your proverbial coffee grinder? What is it? Where has God got you? And who is the person who's ready to end their life? And you just have to have a conversation. You, me, the church, that's us. The living waters are meant to turn out. The living waters are meant to get deeper and wider as they go. The living waters bring life everywhere they go. And they are brimming with life. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I'd love to invite the worship team out with me. We're going to sing Commission My Soul again. And I'd love for us to sing it from the depths of our heart. Lord, Holy Spirit, open the heavens, Lord, over my life so that I understand my commissioning. I understand. And I pray as we sing this song that the Lord would highlight people. Maybe it's family members, maybe it's friends, work colleagues. Insert your name here. Where are we at? And how are we living our lives? As I said, my goal is that if all of us in this room could just turn outwards and let that river flow, that it would bring life everywhere that it goes. Can we sing, Ronnie, Commission My Soul?
So with a fire uncontrollable for this great cause to save the lost and open my eyes to the reason I'm alive, oh Lord, I'm ready now.
Come on.
To follow you.
If you feel comfortable, why don't you stretch your hands out? Lord, I surrender. I want to see. Open my eyes.
Open my eyes to the reason I'm alive.
turn me outwards, Lord. Turn me outwards, Lord. Lord, open my eyes. God, I want to see the reason I'm alive. Lord, it's not me. My reason is not self, God. Let me see. Come on, why don't you cry out to Him tonight? Lord, I want to see. It's a song of consecration, God. Commission my soul. Give me an assignment, Lord. That's what we're saying, God. Give me an assignment. Commission me, God. Pour out your spirit on us, Lord. If you need to get on your knees, why don't you do that? I just see across the room, there's a desire to get on our knees. God, I lay my life down to you tonight. Lord, I lay it down. Jesus, it's all yours.
Open the heavens wide. Would you pour out your spirit on us?
It's the cry of my heart, Lord. Moments, church. We press in these moments. The Spirit of God would hand out assignments in moments like this. Your purpose, your life's purpose, handed out in moments like this. Lord, I don't ever want to miss an opportunity. I don't ever want to walk in and walk out unchanged. Open the heavens over my life, God. Open my eyes to see. Because I know when I see, it stops being just about me. When I see, my eyes are lifted. My life has impact. My life has purpose. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord, as you'd walk up and down the aisles and in amongst the rows, God. Our hungry hearts will be filled, the scripture says. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. He doesn't hide himself not to be found. He hides himself that you would look. That you would seek. Because he says, if you draw near to me, that's all you need to do. I'm going to come and draw near to you. So the cry of this church, Lord, is that you would open the heavens wide over us. That is the cry of the soul of this church. Open the heavens wide. We are hungry and we are thirsty, God. We want to see you. We want to understand. We want to recognize God. Imperfect people helping imperfect people is God's perfect plan. God, use me. Even though I don't think I'm worthy, even though I don't think I'm adequate, even though I don't think I'm ready or I have what it takes, God, I'm imperfect, God. But show me. Direct me. Point me in the right direction. My answer is yes. My answer is yes. Will you say that? My answer is yes. My answer is yes. Whatever it is, God, my answer is yes. Wherever you're calling, my answer is yes. Whatever comes, my answer is yes. I'm committed, Lord. I'm consecrated tonight, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord God, to commission me. Send me out. Send me out, Lord. Use me, Jesus. As frail as I am, use me. Father God, I pray you'd breathe on the coals of hearts in this room. Light fires in hearts in this room, God. Light fires in hearts in this room. A fire uncontrollable for your great cause. For my God is a consuming fire. My God is a consuming fire. Lord, consume me, Jesus. A fire uncontrollable for your great cause. A fire that isn't a fire of preference or convenience, God. Consume me, Jesus. Consume me, Lord. Is that your cry, church? Consume me, Lord. A fire uncontrollable for your great cause, Lord. Use us, Lord Jesus. Use us, Lord. Let's sing it. Commission my soul with a
uncontrollable for this great cause.
Let your fire fall,
Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord.
Reason I'm alive.
Oh Lord, I'm ready now. I say I'm ready now, Lord. Commission my soul with a fire uncontrollable
for this great cause
to save the lost.
Open my eyes to the reason I'm alive. Oh Lord, I'm ready now. I'll follow.
Fire uncontrollable for this great cause
to save the lost. Open my eyes to the reason I'm alive.
Oh Lord, I'm ready now.
I'll follow.
with every heart turned towards the Lord right now. Eyes closed, heads bowed, every heart inclined to the whisper of heaven. I wonder who in the room it is tonight and you don't know Jesus, or you've walked away. And tonight, He has opened heaven over you. Tonight, you are sensing His invitation. You're hearing Him call your name because He knows you intimately. I don't know the intimate details of your life, but He does. And He knows your name, and there is something powerful about hearing your name called by the Father. And that's you. You know it's you because your heart's racing. I know what that felt like, and I hold that memory as the most precious memory of my life. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, hearts leaning in, if that's you and He's calling your name, maybe for the first time or because you've walked away and you want to respond, you want to say, Lord, I see now, I can hear it, and I'm responding. Lord, I want to receive You as the Lord of my life. I want to receive You as the Savior of my life. And that's you. While I look around, I'd love for you to just give me a wave so I know who to pray for tonight. Receiving Jesus as your Lord tonight. If that's you, give me a quick wave as I look across the room. Who is that here tonight? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Father God, we thank You for the gift of salvation. Lord, we thank You for Your Son who came in our place, Lord, that we would be reunited with You. Father, I thank You for a church that's on a journey. Lord God, I thank You for the renewal in our hearts daily. Lord, as we are commissioned, as we consecrate ourselves daily, Father, that You would use us. Lord, and I speak prophetically into the lives that You've destined for us to come across. I speak prophetically into the coffee shop appointments, the stepladder interactions in everyday life, Lord God, the ones who are searching and You've put us in their path. Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus, that lives would be spared. Father, I thank You that hearts would be mended. Father, I thank You that life would come, healing would come as the river flows out of our lives. Father, I thank You that as we bring Jesus to the world, that our world would be healed, the living waters would heal wherever they go. Father, we say, use me. Use me, Lord. Use me however You see fit. Open my eyes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week. Let me see who they are. Lord, let me see who they are in Jesus' mighty name. Can we give God some praise tonight?
Thanks for joining us online. We pray you are blessed by today's message. If you want prayer for anything, you want to connect with us, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, we'd love to take this from a digital to a personal relationship. So reach out via the link in the description below. Be blessed. We'll see you soon.